Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And this week, before we dive fully into draft content, because we are less than a month away from the draft in Green Bay, which is incredibly exciting, we thought we'd take a little look-see around the NFC North, because we've talked about what the Packers have done. We've talked about their draft needs. We will continue to talk about their draft needs for the next month, but we haven't really looked at what's shaken out across the rest of the NFC North. So Perry, before we jump in, how you doing?
Doing good. Countdown to the draft in Green Bay. Can't wait.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. I would love to be there. I'm still trying to convince Mark to take me, but he will not take a 39 weeks pregnant person to Green Bay, which I can't say that I blame him. But I just think that'd be pretty fun. So let's jump in with the Lions here, because obviously, we know the Lions were the front runners in the North, won the division, but they had a lot of turnover. You mentioned it pre-show. Maybe that's where we can start. Losing both coordinators, I think, could potentially be more significant than any of the players that they have added or lost. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. No, I think when we think of free agency, a lot of times we just simply think about the players added and subtracted. But I think in terms of the Lions, you know, it's hard not to think about their offseason without the headliner of losing both their coordinators, both of which have gone on and deservedly so gotten head coaching gigs. Things we saw coming. I don't think neither of those were a surprise, but to have that amount of like talent kind of mass exodus in one off season, it's hard not to imagine what this team is going to look like. They still have Dan Campbell. Obviously he is the rock, the main event, in terms of coaching, but this team is just, it naturally is going to look very different. It could be a good thing, the shakeup, you know, it could infuse new ideas and, new scheme. And that could be really exciting for a team that has looked really great the last few seasons and I think is very gritty and very adaptable. Or it could mean a little bit of a regression and we're just not going to know until the season starts. Talent-wise, the roster is still fantastic. That is if Jared Goff still continues to play the way he has, that, you know, he's also at an age where that drop-off can come at any point. We'll talk a little bit about some of their big additions slash subtractions, but again, just hard not to think about this offseason without thinking about their losses at coordinator.
Yeah. And I mean, anytime you go 15-2, regardless of how successful you are, it's hard to replicate that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we've seen teams like the Packers win a Super Bowl at 10-6. So your record doesn't necessarily, you know, project any type of success into the following season, but certainly a very difficult season for them to try to repeat. Just really quickly before we jump into the players, John Morton is their new offensive coordinator. He was most recently the passing game coordinator for the Broncos. So he comes over from the AFC to work with Dan Campbell. And then Kelvin Shepard got an internal promotion with the Lions. He was most recently their linebackers coach in Detroit for the last three seasons. And he gets the elevation up to defensive coordinator. So that's what those two new position coaches will look like. And now let's talk about some of the players. On the way out for the Lions, they lost Carlton Davis to a big contract with the Patriots. Kevin Zeitler, a one-year deal with the Titans. And then Za'Darius Smith was a release and he remains unsigned. So not too many necessarily like big losses for them at this point. Carlton Davis, arguably the big one, but we know that they replaced him by bringing in DJ Reed, right, who was probably the premier corner of free agency. So a big addition there. Defensive tackles, Roy Lopez, and then Levi Onwuzurike, they re-signed, who was with the Lions already. Linebacker Derek Barnes was a re-sign. And then Marcus Davenport, the defensive end, also a re-sign. So basically retaining most of their own players and then adding DJ Reed, I think, is the big splash.
100%. To me, it feels like a bit of a swap, if nothing else, like potentially an upgrade. DJ Reed is younger. I imagine, again, depending on if they're going to shift defensive schemes or if they're going to stay put, he should really slot right in pretty nicely into that role, and bodes well for them that they have no other changes and they have a very, very young, very ascending secondary, that he should, like I said, just fit really nicely right into there. The team is not changing that much. Like, the core of this Lions team is the same. Again, that can be good or bad, right? Like you said, 15-2 is really hard to top. And this can mean, are you taking that core and evolving, or are you taking that core and kind of what we saw a little bit from the Packers is, are people now going to have tape on you and they're going to have a little bit of a way to stop what you were able to do successfully? So I think if I'm the Lions, those are my, that's my, if I'm a Lions fan, that's my big question going into the season is, how do we replicate success? How do we keep opponents on our toes? And that's Dan Campbell's, you know, big task for the offseason.
Yeah, and I think it's worth mentioning too, the Lions are in kind of a similar situation that the Packers were in, where they paid Penei Sewell, they paid Jared Goff, they paid Aleem McNeil, they paid Amon-Ra, and they still have a ton of guys that are going to need to be paid big money. Arguably, you know, more talent that will warrant huge contracts than the Packers are even dealing with. We talked about the Packers obviously needing to kind of prioritize what they're going to do in their wide receiver room. But in the next couple of years for the Lions, they've got guys like Aiden Hutchinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph. Like, there's a ton of guys who are going to, could arguably be like the top player at their respective position if they enter free agency. So how the Lions kind of manage who they're prioritizing, if they want to keep everybody, can they even afford to retain everybody? Can they just kick the can down the road? You know, what it's going to look like for them to try to keep this team together. And I think, I'm not saying their window's closing by any stretch, but you can feel the urgency, and it becomes increasing when you have a 15-2 season, you have a really disappointing postseason, and then you lose both of your coordinators. So I think that's what I'll be curious to see from the Lions going into the draft, is if they are starting to kind of replace certain positions or retool some position groups, or if they're just going to go completely best player available and try to win right now while they still have these cheap contracts for another year or two.
Yeah. Urgency is, I think, a good way to put it. And I'm sure if I'm a Lions fan, I'm feeling that as well, because they're so dominant. They look so dominant all season, but none of it really matters unless you like really make it to that big game. And so that's going to be, I mean, the bar just keeps being set there. And I think until you reach that, it's going to continue to be disappointment. The window is for sure still open. I'm it's not going to be this draft just because of the class, but I am curious in the next like two off seasons, what they do at quarterback.
Yeah.
Because again, like Jared Goff is in his 30s, and he's not going to continue to play the way he is forever. And I'm sure that they are already thinking about the contingency plan or like the post Goff life, as they should be, as any good team will be. So I am really curious, like when and if, who knows, they end up addressing that. Because that's going to be super important just like for the longevity of their success and what that transition plan looks like. But they should be, I mean, set up for success this season. And as someone who is within this division, who roots for a different team, like I'm looking at them as the number one barrier to the Packers winning the division and to the Packers making a push into the playoffs, because the Lions are the top dog right now in the NFC North.
Yeah, and I think what makes this window for the Lions so much more challenging is the same window that we have with the Packers, right? Is these are all teams that we think, at least, you know, when we go through on paper, have gotten better. We're going to talk about the Vikings now. We'll talk about the Bears last. But, you know, these are teams that are getting better, and it's just going to get tougher to win the division. I'm sure the Lions didn't think it could get any tougher at 15-2, you know, having to fend off a 14-3 team in the final game of the regular season. But this is a really good Vikings team too. That's a good shift here. Out, of course, they lost Sam Darnold to the Seahawks. Seems like all signs indicate they're going to start JJ McCarthy unless Aaron Rodgers makes his triumphant return to the division. But seems that ship has sailed at this point. They lost offensive tackle Cam Robinson, who was with them on the rental kind of already. And then Cam Bynum, probably the biggest loss for them outside of, you know, I guess quarterback at safety. So they brought in Byron Murphy. They re-signed him at corner. Guard Will Fries. Aaron Jones came back at running back. They brought in Ryan Kelly at center, which I thought was interesting as a veteran option. Something I thought maybe the Packers would consider doing. Harrison Smith, they re-signed, but then really, really beefed up their defensive line. Jonathan Allen comes in, Javon Hargrave comes in, Isaiah Rogers at corner, and then they traded for Jordan Mason at running back, which I also thought was interesting. The Vikings don't have a ton of draft capital, but this is a really good draft to need a running back. So maybe they're thinking Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason can be your 1-2, and then you can develop running back 3. But yeah, good class to need a running back if you need one.
It's a lot. The Vikings did a lot. I think like the complete flip of the Lions, who really kind of kept their team together, made a few tweaks, one big signing. The Vikings are going to look like a new team. I mean, anytime you have a new quarterback under center, that is a new looking team, and it is going to be it's going to still be a Kevin O'Connell offense. But it's going to be a JJ McCarthy run. I love the Jordan Mason signing. I think if there's one thing they did, I love that. I think it's such a loss for the 49ers. It's a really fun 1-2 punch in that backfield. Aaron Jones looked back to form last season, and like the idea that you can keep him the same way the Packers did with a bit of fresh legs and not have to rely too much on him as like the full one is always going to bode well for him. He's a smaller frame running back. He relies on his shiftiness and his cut and his ability to find a hole. And that means he needs to be like 100% healthy, and he isn't always. So I love that signing for them. I also love the Jonathan Allen signing. Hate how much I love it. I just think it's a great like beef up, and their defense. I hate their defense getting better. And I think any new talent on that side is probably going to end up being used well and appropriately given the coordinator. So the Vikings are going, like, you go into it assuming they're going to be just as good, but I have definitely reservations and grain of salt in mind because JJ McCarthy is, for all intensive purposes, a rookie coming off a bad injury. So I'm imagining, sure, he could come out and look like the next Tom Brady, but I think there's going to be certainly growing pains, and it might be that the second half of the Viking season looks a lot different than the first half of the Viking season.
Yeah, and this is also a team that doesn't have a ton of draft picks to work with. So I think they maybe were more pressed to reload than, you know, the Lions were. The Lions could kind of keep their core nucleus together. The Vikings have a first round pick, then they have a third round pick, then they have a fifth round pick and a sixth round pick. So they're looking at 4 picks only, which is, you know, maybe they'll trade back and kind of, you know, work the board. They really reinvested in their offensive line. You know, Will Fries was a 5-year deal, so they anticipate him being around for a long time. Ryan Kelly, I think, is on the very twilight tail end of his career. So certainly think they'll address O-line in the draft in some capacity, especially at center. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Brian Flores getting any type of talent for his defense is always a scary thought, but this is a team that's going to contend. And I think, unfortunately for the Vikings, it'll be the, you know, they'll live and die by JJ McCarthy the same way we thought that they would with Sam Darnold. Right. And he had a really incredible regular season, but that fizzled out when it mattered the most. And you don't wish that on a young quarterback, but certainly a lot of expectations for this Vikings offense. Especially knowing the pieces that they have, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, like these are big name players, and they're going to want their quarterback to get them the ball efficiently, or things kind of might be derailed for them on offense. But I guess the pro for the Vikings is that Kevin O'Connell is one of the best in the biz when it comes to quarterbacks. So
yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say he could not have stepped into a better situation. He has more weapons than any quarterback could want quite frankly. And he's with like a QB whisperer, a very quarterback friendly scheme. So he is being set up for success for sure, which is probably why there are, like you said, high expectations to be able to come in and nearly immediately be able to produce. Again, just if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm for sure going to be super excited about my young, you know, first round pick, as anybody would. But, you know, you always, just as we were with Jordan Love, temper expectations a little bit, because it's going to be tough, fast pace, and it's going to be a lot for him to take on super early.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good segue into the last team in the division who has a young quarterback and acquired, obviously, Ben Johnson to be the head coach, formerly with the Lions. Really nice situation that he finds himself in, right? He gets to work with, you know, what was arguably the best quarterback in the draft last season. If you want to say it's Jaden Daniels, that's fine. But, you know, the expectation, we knew Caleb Williams was going first overall to the Chicago. They set him up, we thought, really nicely with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. And then, you know, the Bears had a tough season, and obviously they beat the Packers. We're not going to come out here and deny that, but there were certainly struggles for that offense. So yeah. What did the Bears do in free agency? They solidified both trenches, which is, you know, something that you always want to do as a franchise. They lost Tevin Jenkins. He ended up in Cleveland. Keenan Allen remains unsigned at this point. And then they lost center Coleman Shelton. So not really anything crazy. Huge additions that they made, brought in center Drew Dahlman, who was kind of like the premier center available on the market, traded for guard Jonah Jackson, traded for guard Joe Thuney. So just completely overhauled that offensive line. They brought in edge Dia Odengbo, a defensive lineman Grady Jarrett, a wide receiver Olamide Zaccheaus, and then tight end Durham Smith. So really, you know, tried to do a lot to overhaul both sides of the ball when it comes to that front and that offensive line. And I think that's, you know, what they needed to do. They needed to prioritize because Caleb Williams had a really tough time behind that line in 2024.
Yeah. If I was a Bears fan, this is exactly what I would have wanted them to do, is protect Caleb. If you really think that he is your future, and you are investing in him as a player, and again, wanting to set him up for success, it is invest in that line. We watched a lot of Bears football last season, and it was a lot of Caleb Williams running for his life. And one of his strengths as a player are his legs, but you want to use those sparingly and purposefully and not have him consistently just trying to extend plays because his entire line has broken down. And we will see, right, if these additions will do that, but I think you should feel really good about the choices that they made in free agency to protect him. As far as other weapons, they still have two great wide receivers, a young, I think, still ascending tight end. And we will see how Ben Johnson does as a head coach. It's hard not to believe that he's going to be a great and creative head coach after seeing what he did with the Lions. But, you know, you just never know when someone goes from coordinator to full on, you know, taking over everything, like what that jump looks like. So that's going to be something that I think everyone's going to have their eye on. But the Bears look like they made some really smart moves this offseason.
Yeah, and they're certainly in a really nice position going into this draft, which is unfortunate since it's in Green Bay. But four picks inside the top 75. They got number 10 overall in the first round. Then they have two picks in the second round. One of those, of course, from the Panthers. And then they have their pick in the third round. So really setting themselves up nicely to get as many as four immediate impact players to add to this roster. Obviously, like we said, they've overhauled their offensive line, probably still would like some help on the defensive line. Grady Jarrett is a really great football player, but he's again on the tail end of his career. So you probably want to beef up that front seven a little bit. Could see them adding another weapon or two on offense for Caleb Williams, considering they lost Keenan Allen. But yeah, I think the Bears are positioned really nicely. And, you know, we joke about it. They continuously win the offseason. So now you want to see them do it, not on paper, not if you're a Packer fan, but theoretically, this is where they take the jump, is what they're able to surround Caleb Williams with. And certainly an upgraded head coach who will work with his skill set a little bit better. So I think there's a lot of reasons, and there should be, for optimism in Chicago, but at some point the rubber has to meet the road. And I think this is the season that it really needs to do that. Even though, unfortunately, this is probably, again, the toughest this division is going to be for a long time. So you're probably not coming in to win the division in 2025, but you certainly are making a push for a wild card and to be competitive and to stay competitive with these really competitive football teams.
Absolutely. And I think success for the Lions, or sorry, for the Bears, has a really, like, I don't want to say low ceiling. That sounds bad, but I mean that in actually a good way. Like, they had a tough season, and success in 2025 really should be seeing all of that young talent that they've taken recently and this new retooled offensive line just looking like they're improving. Caleb Williams looking more comfortable staying in the pocket, running an offense. It should translate into wins if that's the case. And therefore they should be more competitive in the division. But I think you can really come out of this season feeling better about the team as a whole, just seeing like the trajectory moving upwards for all of their players.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we've seen Chicago historically tend towards defensive minded coaches. So to make such an investment in Caleb Williams last season and to try to retool the offense the way that they did, they're doing it the right way. And we said that last season, right? They surrounded him with talent, but to give him an offensive minded head coach, I think is going to make a difference here as well. So we'll see, you know, he's still a young quarterback, so it's not like this is a make or break year for him, but you would certainly expect him to look a little bit more comfortable this year and to have more support from his head coach, which should go a long way. But yeah, any other thoughts, any positions we missed, any players you want to touch on before we wrap this thing up?
It's just crazy that this division looks like this. It really, at this stage in the offseason, could be anyone's division. I think you know who the favorites are, but nothing would surprise me if any one of these four teams came out and looked completely dominant. If all four of these teams came out and looked great, before a few seasons ago, I think we both were like, it would be so fun to finally have a competitive NFC North and have true rivalry. And this is what we have now. It's one of the most competitive divisions in football. You could argue, be the most competitive division in football. I think the AFC North might give it a run for its money, minus the Browns. but it's exciting to see the turnover and the change. And it hopefully will push the Packers to stay competitive and stay at the top of their game. And that's what we want.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we've talked about for years. You know, a lot of our issues with Packers teams of the past was that the division was a cakewalk and you easily get to like 10 or 11 wins that you didn't really feel like you earned. And then you lay an egg in the playoffs because you're not rising to the level of talent that you're playing. So this certainly is not going to be the case for this division for the next couple of years. I think these are teams that are all going to beat up on each other. And I think what's interesting, I don't know if you agree, but I could also see all of these teams being worse than they were last year, Packers included. Like, I certainly, you know, you hope that's not the case as a Packers fan. We think these teams are all poised to take a step, but there's been a lot of change across the division. And looking at new head coaches, new quarterbacks, you know, the Packers probably have the most stable room at this point. So I think that if anything should give them a leg up if they add a couple pieces, but certainly an argument for any of these teams that they could take a step back if some of the big sweeping changes that they made were not the right ones.
Yeah. I mean, regression in terms of wins, for sure. I think it's really hard to repeat 15, 12, 11 win seasons. So, I think I'm with you there. To me, there's a lot of different metrics to kind of rate regression versus progression for a team, not just wins. So I think we could probably do a different episode on regression versus progression around the NFC North. But in terms of like just looking at it black and white, wins, losses, it's hard to imagine this division winning as many games as it did last season. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's going to make the games all the more exciting. And they'll matter a lot more because we know that the NFC North has a really tough slate on the schedule of teams that they're playing. The aforementioned AFC North being one of those divisions that they'll take on in 2025. So thank you, as always, for listening to the show. We'll be back next week, probably with draft content. We haven't really done too much of that yet. And again, it's less than a month away. Really feels like it snuck up on us. You know, fill your time with March Madness or whatever else it is that you like to do. And the draft will be here before you know it. And we'll have brand new Packers to talk about. But that is all the time we have for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find us all over socials at PWSS Podcast or at Pax What She Said, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Remember to like and subscribe to the show on all of your favorite platforms if you don't already. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.